and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy throne of mercy tonight, knowing, Father, that you are here. You are here to save your elect from perishing. You are here to take us into a rapture. You're here to change our minds. You're here to change the body. Father, we just commit ourselves to that great change which is taking place, knowing that the only thing we'll take with us is our character. So help us, Father, as we commit ourselves to thy word tonight, to, as you said in 1 Timothy 3:16, that to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. For the word of God is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for correction, or for reproof in our righteousness, Father, to develop righteousness in us, the right way of thinking. And Father, we commit ourselves, Lord, to the study of thy word and to a better understanding of the conditions of the hour in which we live. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This evening I'd like to look at certain things that Brother Branham spoke concerning the persecution of the church, because some believe that it will take the persecution of the church to drive the believers back together. I do not know if I can see it that way, based on certain things that Brother Branham has said concerning the persecution. So I'd like to read statements that he said, and we'll take some scripture with it as well tonight. But for instance, in his sermon, Feast of the Trumpets, Brother Branham said, in the cunningness, as he said, he'd come in like flatteries. That's he's talking about in Daniel, that talks about the Antichrist coming in. And what was he done? Or what has he done? He's bringing the Protestant Ecumenical Council of the world churches, the spirit of Antichrist upon both of them, bringing them to the slaughter, just like they did the other in an hour to call the bride. How? Loosed in the ecclesiastical church spirit. Loosed upon what? Not upon the denominations, upon the bride. But here you'd get it. The bride will not go through that time. The Bible says not. The church will not. The church will, but not the bride. Can't you see, ministers? Can't you see that, brethren? You say the church has to go through the persecution for the perfection of it. The blood of Jesus Christ perfects the bride. A man who chooses a wife, don't put her through a lot of punishment. He's already found grace with her. She's found grace with him. He engages to her. And if there's anything, he'll keep her from every place to turn her hand. His grace is so great upon them, and so will it be upon the bride, and so is it on the bride. So here we have a very definitive statement from God's prophet that the bride will not go through the persecution. And notice that what Brother Branham says, not upon the denominations, but upon the bride. So actually, the spirit of Antichrist will turn the persecution on what it thinks is the bride. But the bride is already gone. And so only those who resemble the bride in some way, in other words, the foolish virgin, will see that wrath upon her. Now, from his sermon, Questions and Answers, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, Brother Branham, 1964, August 23rd of 64. Notice he preached this well after the seals were revealed. Brother Branham reads a very definitive question concerning the bride and the tribulation. The question is, Brother Branham, will the bride go through the persecution as the early apostolic church did? So someone who understood Alpha and Omega must have wrote this question. Someone who understood that what took place in the first age has to repeat in the last church age must have wrote this question. Because Brother Branham, will the bride go through the persecution as the early apostolic church did? No. I just explained that a few minutes ago. No. The next thing is a rapture now. Now remember, we're at the promised land. We're at the border. You understand the march of Israel. So Brother Branham definitely says that the bride will not go through the persecution as the early church went through the persecution. Now you can't get any more plain than that. The bride will not go through the persecution, period. Now contrast that with a statement that he made in the message, The Paradox, preached 418 of the same year. So basically four months earlier. Preached a few months earlier. He says, we got to stay together. We're all believers in God. The Holy Ghost takes us all in. It'll be a paradox if God ever gets us together. But he will. Just trust him. The virgin birth. He knows how to send the persecution. It'll run us together. So Brother Branham 4 months earlier says the persecution, it'll run us together. 4 months later, he says, no. The bride will not go through the persecution. The church will. The bride will not. Now, some might take the statement and believe it that God will run us all together. I do not believe God will use the persecution to drive the bride together. Because the bride will not be here for the persecution to drive the bride together. And the persecution is, of course, the Great Tribulation. So we see here a quote where Brother Branham said, the persecution will run us all together, but what does he mean here by persecution? And when is he speaking of all coming together, and who's he talking about? From court trial, Brother Branham said in 1964, also around the same time he said this quote, just a week earlier, said, all the Pentecostal groups will come together then. It'll take a persecution to run you people together. You'll never believe it, but when that time comes. So who's he talking to? He's talking to the people that can't get together on their own. The Pentecostal people. Now notice he's speaking of the Pentecostal people, the church. Because we have already found him to say that the bride will not go through the persecution. And he clears it up 4 months later and says the bride will not go through the persecution. The bride are coming together all around the world by the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the doctrine of Christ. And they're doing it now. They don't need a persecution to drive them together. They need the word of God. I remember, and I didn't take a chance to actually look up the quote, but I know there's a quote where Brother Branham, people said, Brother Branham, do we all have to go to Arizona? And Brother Branham said, no, no, no. If you do that, you'll make me a false anointed one. He said, you make me a false Christ, because the Bible says, is he in the desert going on forth? He said, don't do that. But he said, yes, the bride will all come together. They'll come to the word. The bride are coming together all around the world by the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the doctrine of Christ. And everywhere I've been, I see the brothers that are getting the revelation begin to teach it just as wonderfully as I've seen those that sat under Brother Vail doing so. And when they see the relationship that Jesus had with his own Father, and that he has with us as our eldest brother in a vast family of brethren, they can see the real brotherhood of Christ, and that revelation has really begun to tie the message believers together as nothing has been able to do so before. And I'll tell you why. Because when the other great so-called revelations went forth, like the seven thunders, two souls, they pointed people to a man. This revelation is not pointing people to Brother Vail, no way, shape, or form. It's not pointing people to Brother Branham, no way, shape, or form. It's pointing people to Christ. Man is totally taken out of it. And it's pointing us to our eldest brother and what he did on our behalf. From the Great Commission, Brother Branham said, and this is preached back in 58, but I believe, my brethren, that there is coming an hour that when a real rank persecution will run us together, then we will be one, the church will come together. Yes, the church will come together. I believe the bride will already be together because she has to be together to go in a rapture together. She is drawn to the word. Now, what we have to be careful about concerning the use of the word persecution is that just like the word Christ can mean. It can mean the anointer or the one who anoints. It can mean the one who is anointed. And it can also mean the anointing itself. So when we hear Brother Branham use the word persecution, we must understand in what context is he using that word. In this next quote, we find Brother Branham use the word persecution as a tool that God uses to train and discipline his children. That is not the same as the persecution that he speaks about, the Great Tribulation. From We Have Seen a Star, 1963, 1216, after the seals. Brother Branham said, God is the great refiner's furnace, that where he has where he has to put these things upon us, and trials and persecutions and things, to mold it together to make our testimony ring for a certain time and a certain note that he wants rang out in a certain day. We're made different. We're all made different. We see different. But we all see one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. Let's look at him. And the only way that you can see him, if we look, if he looks contrary to this word, you're not looking at him. For that is him. So if you see a creed or you see some certain denomination that you just think, I belong to that and that's enough, if it doesn't look at that word, then look away from it. Look to that word, and that's what we're looking at, or that's what we're looking for, Christ, the manifestation of God's word. He is the vindication of God's word. So again, look what Brother Branham is saying our focus should be. And if our focus is Christ, we are all. And let's face it, the scripture says we're all baptized into one body. How? By the word of God. Again, we see that God allows certain influences in our lives to mold us into the image of his firstborn son. But the persecution here are but trials of our faith that God uses to mold his very nature into us by his word. The trials drive us to his word, and if we are to be driven together by trials, it will be driven to the word, not to a certain group here and a certain group there. God never drives people to other people. Can I repeat that? God never drives people to people. He drives people to himself, and he is the word. He drives us to his word. You know, we can pray all we want that churches would, you know, the groups would come together and they'd be maybe forced together. Listen, who's going to come to who? If I have to come to another group, that's not God doing it. If they've got to come to me, that's not God doing it. We've got to come to the Word. Strip down all the humanism, all the humanity out of the whole equation. Don't look at the flesh. Look at the Word. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I just do not see God driving anyone together until the church is driven together by the persecution, the tribulation, and that's after the bride is raptured. And they'll be driven together because they're going to be persecuted together. From the first seal, Brother Branham said, the ones that the Lord showed me, the bride, she was not under the martyr's block. No. The sacrifice altar of the martyrs, but had received white robes by accepting the pardoning grace of the living word, Christ had given them a white robe. I do not see martyrdom for the bride in this hour. I do not see it. Some say that I will be one of those to be martyred. I don't believe I will be martyred. Because of my stand and because of what I'm doing and because of the international notoriety of our website and the ministry. They say, you are a target. I say, that's fine if I'm a target, but I will not be martyred. That is not my revelation. My revelation is a rapture. It's a change. A change of the body. And that's why I strive daily to get a change of the mind. It's hard. Crucifying yourself is very, very hard. But it must be done. And if we don't do it, if you don't, listen, Brother Branham said, the attitude you have toward people can keep you out of the rapture. We need to come to the place, as Brother Branham said, we need to lay in the presence of the sun to ripen. Now, that doesn't mean you have to run Johnny Todd with people that are not elect. Let me just rephrase that. We must love everyone, but you don't have to like them. How does that sound? Okay? Or does that need to be rephrased a little bit? Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Love is not an emotion. Get that emotional stuff out of your head. Love is an action. You don't treat them any different than you would treat anyone else. A man came to me years ago and he said if he remarried a certain person, would that put him out of the church? I said, no. He said, I will not treat you any different than I treat anyone else. And you've seen me here. I do not treat people differently. Whether they are saint or sinner. Now, there's only one person we ever had to put out of the church, and that was because he continued to fornicate. And he enjoyed it. In 25 years, one person asked to leave the church. Not forcibly, not by a deacon board. Simply, I gave him 6 months to change his life, and he wouldn't do it. So I asked him not to come back. Didn't use force, didn't use a hard tone. I didn't yell at him, scream at him. I just simply asked him not to come back. I don't treat people with disdain. I may not like what some people do. And I have an opinion, like you have an opinion. But as far as turning your nose up in the air at people, that should never be counted among us. Never one time should it be named among you. Because if you have an attitude where you stick your nose up in the air, may God pour enough rain down to drown it. Because pigs have snouts that stick up in the air. Treat everyone alike, sinner and saint. You treat them with respect. Let God sort out the difference. From Feast of the Trumpets, and as I said, doesn't mean you have to like it. If somebody slaps you in the face, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. He didn't say you had to like it. He didn't say you had to call him my brother. No, he just said, turn the cheek. From Feast of the Trumpets, Brother Ram says, there was three stages of it. As I said, the martyrs, the age, the martyrs for it, and then the stage of the reformers, and now the calling out time. When finished, the Laodicean age, according to Revelation 10, the mystery of all the Bible would be known to the bride. Is that right? Revelation 10. Listen close now. Bride called out by the word. Christ himself calling out the bride, making plain, Hebrews 13 and 8, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, is the same. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. See Luke 22, or Luke 17:30, and also Malachi 4, Hebrews 4. All these scriptures that's promised, this is to be between the sixth and the seventh seal, and the sixth and the seventh trumpet. Notice, Brother Ram says, there's three stages of the church. Basically, there's a martyr age, there's a stage of the reformers, and then there's the calling out time. He didn't say the calling out time with martyrs. The calling out time is a calling out time. So we see that Brother Brown is plainly speaking that the age of the church had three segments to it. The days of the martyrs, the days of the reformers, and the days of the called out by the revelation of Jesus Christ among the bride. Was there an age of martyrs? Unless the corn of wheat go into the ground, it will not bring, it'll just stand alone. The corn of wheat, the early church had to be martyred, had to go into the grave in order to produce others. In order for that crop to bring forth many fold. This is not the age of the sowing. This is the age of the harvest. We are at the harvest time. In the Ephesian church age, Brother Bram said, we're so glad as we read of the martyrs of the days gone by. How they sealed their testimony with their own blood. Then, Father, it makes us feel that we're doing so little in this day. Well, it kind of does, doesn't it? And I pray thee, Lord, that thou wilt forgive our negligence as we are about thy business, and we pray that you'll anoint us afresh as we read of thy word and see the suffering that has been brought about in the days gone by to make up the canon of this great ransomed church of the living God. Sounds like Brother Branham is looking at martyrdom in the past tense, something that is already taking place. Now, again, this proves nothing of the present or the future. But let's see if that, let's see that the ages gone by were made up of martyrs, etc. From the Patmos vision, Brother Branham said, and we use the word sometimes as predestination, but it's a sure hanger in this church age that we live in. It was certainly a great thing used in the days of the martyrs, because they certainly believed it. But it's gone away from it now to the legalist ideas. The legalist teaching in the church which was a good thing because all of it had gone Calvinistic in England till they didn't even have revivals anymore. And John Wesley come along preaching the Arminian doctrine, which balanced it up. God will always balance it up. So then the foolish version was the one who did not have oil in their lamps. That was cast out into outer darkness, where there'd be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. If you'll compare that on your footnotes, it'll run it right back again to the Great Tribulation. And I think they're the ones that stays back and goes through the Great Tribulation. Quite a lesson there, if we had time to go into it. So Brother Branham is letting us know here, it's a foolish virgin was the ones, that because they didn't have the oil, that were cast out into outer darkness where there'd be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That is the tribulation. So you see, Brother Branham points out that it will be the foolish virgin that will go through the persecution or the great tribulation, as he also calls it. The next quote we read is from Questions and Answers, where Brother Branham is asked a question whether the foolish virgin will be saved or not. From Questions and Answers, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, 1964, 823, paragraph 88. Now, just a minute. Will the foolish virgin be saved? Now, listen to Brother Branham's answer. Now, listen. No. Whatever happens, happens now. After that time, she's in the state. What now? She will have to go through the tribulation period. And the reason for it is because she has rejected the atonement in its fullness. She is a believer, a professed believer, but she will have to go through the tribulation period. The Bible said, and the rest of them, the dragon spurted water out of his mouth to go and make war. And what an hour that is. There's never been a time in history where that the nominal church has become so hungry to find the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I speak for the Christian businessmen constantly. It's Presbyterians, Lutheran, Catholic, and all Baptists. And by the hundreds, Church of Christ, Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness, Seventh-day Adventists, every one of them is flocking in, trying to find. See? So the answer is very plain. The foolish virgin have rejected the atonement, which is the word in its fullness. They have rejected the doctrine of Christ. They have not God. They have not the Holy Ghost, which is God, but are trying to get it in some other way than what we are told in the Scriptures to get it. He that has the doctrine of Christ hath God. From God hiding himself in simplicity, preached right before the seals, 4:12-63, Brother Ram says, something happened the other day. You heard the tape, the seven thunders. What time is it, sir? See? It happened the other day. You know these things. The time is at hand, church. The time is at hand. Don't wait any longer, see? How do you know the rapture's going on? How do you know the rapture's not going on all the time? First thing you know, it'll be past. One disappearing here and there. It'll be gone. And the first thing you know, and judgment will strike the world. You say, well, I thought this. It's too late now. You remember, they didn't know it until the day that they entered the ark, and then it was too late. The foolish virgin didn't know until she come back and found the wise virgin were gone. Then she was left for the tribulation period. So there's a little bit of a warning in there. Don't be playing games with the word, with your life. So we see the types are all there. Noah's day, and the foolish virgin have not having not the Holy Spirit, and by the time that they come back to find out how to get it, it'll be too late then. That is why I'm afraid that this great awakening that is happening all around the world is one last sweep by God to get those in that are ordained to come in. Remember when Brother Vail first began to preach on the parousia, they all mocked him. But now many of those who mocked him are now preaching it in one fashion or another. Brother Jack Bell told me, Brian, he said, that book that you wrote on the difference between the Father and the Son, there's no way anyone could come against what we believe concerning the Godhead if they read that. So you know what? One day they will begin to see that too. Because to have God, you have to have the doctrine of Christ. And without having the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. And He is the Holy Ghost. So when they begin to come for the oil or the Holy Ghost, they will have to come to the doctrine of Christ. But then it'll be too late. So come now while there's still a chance. From Patmos Vision, Brother Branham says, so then the foolish virgin was the one who did not have oil in their lamps. That I believe that was cast out into outer darkness, where there be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. If you compare that on your footnotes, it'll run it back, right back again to the Great Tribulation. And I think they're the ones that stays back and goes through the Great Tribulation. It's quite a lesson there, if we had time to go into it. Again, from paragraph 3, he said, now there's another question here that was given me last evening. Brother Branham, are the foolish virgins of Matthew 25 counted as a Gentile remnant? I understand that the five foolish virgins were saved, but have to go through the Great Tribulation period. Is this correct? If so, what will be their final destination? Could they be the sheep that are divided from the goats in Matthew 25, 33 and 34? Pretty good theologian, according to what I read. Or I think it is too. That they are the remnant. The sleeping virgin is the remnant spoken of in Revelations of the woman's seed that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. A woman will take a piece of goods and lay it down. Well, now, that is what she's cutting or taking her pattern and lays anywhere that she desires, which is the way that she's going to cut that. And then what she has left over is called the remnant. But she chooses to cut it from a certain place by her own free thinking. But what's left over is called the remnant. Now, if you'll notice, there are five foolish and five wise virgins. All of them was virgins, made out of the same material. But by election, God chose His bride by election before the foundations of the world, put their names on the Lamb's Book of Life, slain before the foundations of the world, before the world ever began, God in His mind being infinite. And from questions and answers, God being misunderstood. He said, now, were the five of the virgins lost? I presume that they're asking the question. The five virgins, the five wise and five foolish. Now, if you were with us in the last teaching in Revelation, you find out there that those virgins, the five foolish virgins, were not lost, but they were not permitted to go into the wedding supper, but they suffered persecution and was martyred and raised up again at the general resurrection in the last day. Those are the people where He separated the sheep from the goats, see? They stood before judgment. You say, well, Brother Branham, don't we stand the church? No, sir, we do not stand before the judgment. We are now standing before the judgment. God put our sins upon Christ, and he that heareth my word, St. John 5:24, and believeth on him that sent me, has, past tense, eternal life, and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. No more judgment for the church. Now, I believe Brother Branham is speaking of the bride here and not the church based on other things that he says about the church. Sometimes Brother Branham intermittently uses the word church for bride and vice versa. But when we look at all what he's saying, it is clear that the church goes through the tribulation period, but the bride is raptured. She does not go through the judgment. That's why every day, if you can, judge yourself by this word. Every morning, every noon, every night when you pray, say, Lord, where am I not doing what you want me to do? Where am I not speaking the way you want me to speak? Where are my thoughts differing from your thoughts? And then correct me, Father. And I pray, when I see someone going astray in their spirit, I pray that God would correct them in their spirit. I don't pray for, oh God, you know, lay them on their back and do the. I don't want physical. I don't want a person to have to learn that way. I ask God, just would you humble them in their spirit? Humble all of us in our spirit so that we can reflect your divine presence. Because Brother Branham said, if we don't have the nature of the dove, we're not going to go. Because the lamb and the dove have the same nature. Anyway, Brother Branham said, no more judgment for the church. And I believe he's talking about the bride. It's took up in the rapture and comes back to pass judgment upon the people who did not receive the Holy Spirit. Does not Paul say that he dares any of us to take a matter to the court, to the unjust magistrate? When he said, know ye not that the saints shall judge the earth? We will sit with Christ and judge kings and priests and judge these people that we preached to them and told them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and they refused to receive it. Think of it. No, they were not lost, but they will never be in the bride. They will come in the second resurrection, but never be in the bride, to be judged according to the way that they treated the light that they received. Now, that part will be up to Christ, but they were not lost, though. Now, in this next quote, Brother Branham had just finished talking about a trip to Germany and the testimony of men that he heard who had hid out during World War II from Hitler and the Nazi Germany, and how they had to pray food under their tables. And he talked about the persecution of the church in Germany. Then he makes a statement. And this is from handwriting on the wall. He said, persecution makes the church stronger. And God will strengthen this American church someday, hiding in a bomb shelter somewhere. I don't believe the bride is going to hide in a bomb shelter somewhere. I believe she's going up before the first bomb strikes. Now, if we believe the bride doesn't go through the persecution, then this is speaking of those who are left behind. From Questions and Answers, he said, 1964, 823. Now, the people say, what about the early saints? That was a changing of the dispensations. That was under persecution. Which, if you was here to hear this church ages, and to see how that they went out into darkness and had to do that, then that shows where they had to take that persecution, because each one of the church ages and everything began to show that they went darker and darker till they finally went to a complete place that they denied his name and picked up another name, that they lived and were saints. They lived and were dead. Of Sardis. And then it come out Thyatira and Sardis, and then come out. Then it begins to come out to Philadelphia and so forth, and then come to the time of the calling out of the bride, which was to escape all the damnation. It counted worthy to escape all this damnation and wrath that's to come upon the earth, that you might be counted worthy to escape, not go through it, but escape it. Do you understand now, everybody? Didn't the scripture tell us that we were worth? Wasn't that one of the benefits of understanding the Son of God, that we are to escape the damnation, escape the wrath of God, and escape the wrath of man? From Feast of the Trumpets, Brother Branham said, 1964, 719, at the sixth seal, when it opened, the persecution struck the Jews in a literal standpoint, and here comes the persecution to the church in the ecclesiastical standpoint, because the bride is already called. The Sabbaths are over and ready for the Jews to be called. Where to? The Feast of the Atonement. Oh, church, don't you see that? So the persecution to the Jews under Hitler and Stalin, under the sixth seal, is followed by the persecution to the church after the bride is gone to glory. Now, for those who believe that Alpha must repeat in Omega, and thus there must be a persecution before we go in the rapture, let's look at what Brother Branham says about the Alpha persecution. From a sermon, Testimony of William Branham, he says, do you believe that? The scripture says that after his death, burial, and resurrection, persecution set upon the church. So if persecution didn't set upon the church until after the resurrection, first half, then you won't see persecution on the church until after the resurrection, second half. Alpha repeating in Omega. I really like that, what he said there. Amen. From What the Holy Ghost Was Given For, 1959, Brother Branham said, when men makes fun of you, they're not making fun of you, they're making fun of him that sent you. So Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Blessed are you, and again, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. For when God made himself known in Christ, they hated him. Who hated him worse? The church. The church hated him worse. They hated him worse than the drunkard. They hated him worse than all the other people. It was the church that hated him. So therefore, when you see cosmos, the world order, the world knowed him not, it means the church, so-called, knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, to them that believed on his name. Oh, how we should love him and worship him, the purpose of God wanting to come to become in fellowship. So when Jesus said, when the world cannot see me, Brother Branham said, that's the church, so-called. Cannot see him. Who killed Jesus? Was it the prostitute? Was it the drunkard? It was a church. Now that's a beautiful quote, because it shows that the church hated the manifestation of God in the man Jesus. And it will hate you today as well if it sees Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now that doesn't mean that you're to go about and speak evil all the time about church people. No, if they reject you, just shut your mouth like Christ did. That does not mean that you have to go out of your way to get together with them either. How could two walk together lest they be agreed? But you should be gentlemanly and ladylike enough to acknowledge them when you cross their path, no matter how ill-treated you are. Don't be their equal. Show that you have something that they don't have. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Even while hanging on the cross, in his last breath, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And that should be our attitude as well. I have never told this church or my family to snub anyone or to treat anyone with disdain. I have said, just leave it alone, because that is best. And that way you can forget about it. People wrote nasty letters. I ripped them up. Why? I don't want to think about it. Don't bring something up to me about something negative. I don't want to hear about it. Whatsoever things are pure, say it with me. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't bring up the negative. Forget about it. Turn the cheek. They say nasty things, forget about it. They write nasty things, rip it up and throw it away. Why? Because it'll tarnish your spirit. You'll carry around that baggage the rest of your life. It'll haunt you, and it'll destroy you. They could care less what you do with it. They hope it destroys you. They hope it'll hang on you, but don't let it. Forget about it. When the Bible says, after two admonitions, reject as a heretic, it doesn't mean snub your nose, turn your nose in the air, and walk away from them. Or when they walk down the street, you cross over and cross so you don't have to say hello. Or if you see them in the store, you say, quickly, hide, children. Or let's get out of here, you know, because you don't want to deal with them. When the Bible says, treat them as a heathen or a publican, it simply means just let them alone. Don't go out of your way to go out of your way. If you see them, be pleasant. Hello, how are you? Good day, etc. Because if you can't do that with grace in your heart, you need another trip to Calvary. From Smyrnian Church Age, Brother Bram said, I want you to notice something here in the scripture. I think it was one of the biggest puzzles to me for such a long time until I found out. Now, let's read that real close now, see? He that has an ear, in other words, has an ear to hear, see? That's open to the Spirit. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, see, the same thing, this persecution and everything comes. Every part of it lapses over into every church, the churches. Spirit says to the church, he that overcometh. In what church? Ephesian. Yep. All right. Smyrna. Yep. All of them. He that overcomes in all the churches shall not be heard of the second death. He in the Laodicean church that overcomes what? What do we have to overcome? What does the scripture tell us we have to overcome in the Laodicean church age? Is it martyrdom? Nope. Is it persecution? He that overcomes Nicolaitans, overcomes the things of the world, overcomes these denominations, overcomes these priesthoods, overcomes everything of the world and sells out and loves Christ, he'll not be heard of the second death. Why? He's got eternal life. Eternal life can't die. Jesus said, he that heareth me has eternal life, shall never die. I'll raise him up at the last day. So this plainly says that the things that we must overcome in this hour are things to do with the world and how the church is controlled. Two things. Overcoming the world, your temptations for the things of the world, and how the church is controlled. Is it controlled by God or is it controlled by man? And if it's controlled by man, then blessed is he that overcomes that. That's how I read that quote from Brother Branham. From adoption or placing, Brother Branham said, when we were down here, beginning at the early age of the church, after the Reformation in Luther's time, just a man to say he was a Christian either meant his life or death. They kill him for even saying that he was a Christian. Therefore, to go through persecution every age, through every time, there's been persecution. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But that is not the persecution or the tribulation, which speaks of the great tribulation. Let me show you some quotes that tell us what sort of persecution we are to face and are facing in this hour. From Christ Outside the Door, Brother Branham said, if you know any famous picture has to go through the Hall of Critics before it can go into the Hall of Fame. That's the way the church is. The church first has to go through the Hall of Critics before it can be taken in the rapture and put in the Hall of Fame. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So you see, you've got to be criticized. You've got to be made fun of. There's no other way around it. Sticks and stones will break my bones. That's real persecution. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will not harm me. We used to say that as kids. When I die, you'll cry for all the names you've called me. Names can't hurt you. What people feel about you shouldn't hurt you. It's what God feels about you. I could care less, and I say this with honesty, I could care less what people think about me, as long as I know that God is happy with me. That's what I'm interested in. I mean, it's only human that we would like to have people like us. But let me just tell you one thing. Jesus was a likable fella until God entered him. Brother Branham got along with a lot of people until God took over that man's life. Moses, he was well loved until God's message got a hold of him. Even the people he was called to lead out hated him. They tried to stone him on several occasions. So it matters not, brother, sister, what people think of you. It's what God thinks of you. And you ought to know what God thinks of you in your heart. You should know. From Return and Jubilee, Brother Branham said, we need to go back to the power of God and something that can do that same thing today, although in our numbers. But persecution always gives strength to the church. We've had it too easy. We get slothful. We get to the place where we don't want to move on because everything's just handed to us. It takes sorrow and tears and sweat and prayer and faith and promises to move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. That zeal and that power that they had in those days has long time vanished from our assemblies. I'm afraid if the windows would be shot out tonight, people run every which way and never come back again. Yeah. From Feast of the Trumpets, he said, you remember the vision the other day? Remember the preview of it? How many remembers that Sunday before last? How that there it was exactly come by. We've seen it exactly. Seen that dirty, filthy thing come up called the church, vulgarity to the extreme. And that little bride of every nation, each one of them dressed like their own nation. They come from just perfectly walking before the Lord. You notice there'll be a time sometime when they'll say, well, I thought the church was to go before the persecution. I thought there's a rapture. It's already passed and you knew it not. That's what he said about John one time. He said, why say the prophets that the scribes that Elijah must first come? And he said, he's already come. And even the disciples didn't know it. They done to him what they listed. The rapture would be the same way. In an hour, he's promised to do that. He didn't promise to show Elijah like that, but he promised to take the bride like that. In an hour that you think not, just a moment, in the moment and twinkling of an eye, be caught up away. Then you're left. Then that's the time. From Wisdom versus Faith, Brother Branham said, now the Protestants got choked out. It choked the spirit right out of them when they begin to take wisdom instead of faith in the Word. the wisdom of organization, the organizational wisdom instead of the faith in the word. All that understands that, say amen. Congregation says amen. Faith in what? What the group of men of the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Evangelicals, and all of them got together, and soon they're to form up a confederation of churches, which will be the image of the beast, and we will have the same power in this nation, Revelation 13:11, that they had over there, and will cause the persecution upon the saints, just like they did at the beginning of the Roman church. See, that's where it's heading up right now, and that's why the word's being sowed right now everywhere. Stay away from it. Get out of it. But again, when's that going to come? After we're gone. From God being misunderstood. Now, were the five of the virgins lost? I presume that they're asking the question, the five virgins, the five wise and the five foolish. Now, if you were with us in the last teaching in Revelation, you find out there that those virgins, the five foolish virgins, were not lost, but they were not permitted to go into the wedding supper. I think I read this one already, so we'll pass this one up. I think the rest of these are duplicates. Okay, well, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Now, gracious Father, we humbly and reverently thank you, Father, for these words tonight. Words of assurance, knowing that we are not those to be martyred. We are not those that are to be left behind. But, Father, we have a promise. But we take that promise seriously, Lord, and we know that you take it seriously as well. Because if they didn't have on the wedding garment, they weren't allowed to come into the wedding. And they were cast out into utter darkness where there'd be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And because the man came in, he was thrown out because he didn't come in through the door. And we know the door is your word. So, Father, we pray that you would help us on a daily basis to go to your word, feed upon your word, feed the spirit, your spirit that lays within us. Feed it that it might nurture and grow. Help us to lay in the presence of the sun to ripen until we come sweet and humble like those people were on the other side that Brother Bram saw by when he was translated over to the other side. Help us, Father, in Jesus Christ's name, to have that right spirit, not a raunchy spirit, not a rank spirit, but a ripe spirit, one that is just sweet and not thinking about negative things. Never let one negative thought or confession come from our mouth. But whatsoever things are positive, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, help us to think on those things. And you said if we be any otherwise minded, you would reveal it to us. So we're praying, Father, that you would constantly be there to remind us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Help thou our unbelief, O God. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. And give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. God bless you all.